You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show, the number one talk show choice of many galaxies.
And views expressed on this program are the responsibility of those who make them. They do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around planet Earth, welcome to the show. I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad to be here, and I want to welcome those who are visiting for the first time. Make sure it's not a visit. Make yourself at home and come back each and every day. It's a good habit to get into. Well, you know, last night we talked about these new lights that have been seen, or this new event, in the skies above Phoenix. It was somewhat a repeat of the Phoenix Light episode that happened, the Phoenix Lights episode that happened 10 years ago. And we talked about that last night at some length. And today I noticed on Google, in Google News, they're beginning to report on these Phoenix Lights number 2. I found it interesting that Yahoo News is still displaying in their science section primarily what they were displaying a month ago. I don't know what's happened over at Yahoo, but somebody is asleep at the wheel, that's for sure. I got a couple of emails from people who said, you know, I took a look at that video and it just, there's no way that's flares. I didn't get anybody who wrote in support of the idea that it is flares that we're looking at. I don't think it's flares. In fact, I made the statement that based on what my eyes see, I'm willing to say I know that's not flares. Now, if there is some type of new military flare that is capable of doing what's in that video, then I think they need to stage a demonstration and show us and prove it. If they're willing to say that was flares, then they can't turn around and say, but we can't show them to you because they're classified. Because, we're looking at something that known flares can't do, and they're saying it's flares. Well, that's sort of what goes in the category of cat is out of the bag. Some of the music that is provided in this show is provided to us by podshow.com, and we do appreciate that. Have you been over to kevinsmithshow.com? Well, be sure you do. You can do it right now, and here are two good reasons to do so. Number one, when you go over to kevinsmithshow.com, we have our free weekly newsletter available for you to subscribe, and it is free. That's not a joke. There's no strings attached. It is free. And you can subscribe by clicking on the menu where it says K-Files E-Zine. The second reason, and a very important reason, is so you can click on where it says vote for our podcast. Now, that's very important. Voting for our podcast makes it possible for us to obtain and retain sponsors for the show that are so desperately needed in order for us to continue to bring you great shows, all right? And so we really need you to do that if you haven't done it yet. You can only do it once each month. So if you haven't done it for February yet, go over there and click on that link that says vote for our podcast, all right? I appreciate you doing that, and we'll be back right after these words.
Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles and free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to AlienSeekerNews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today.
Valentine's Day is almost here. Pro Flowers has an incredible offer just for radio listeners. Order one dozen roses for just $29.99 and get another dozen roses free, plus free chocolates and a free vase. That's two dozen roses plus chocolates and a vase for just $29.99. Pro Flowers roses were rated best value by the Wall Street Journal. For this incredible offer, click on the Pro Flowers banner on your media player now or visit proflowers.com. Click on the radio microphone in the upper right-hand corner and type in the password Internet. That's proflowers.com. Radio microphone, password Internet.
One estimate says 72 million people are listening to radio on the Internet. That's a lot of years finding something better. Internet radio, used by more people to hear new radio. Radio online. Tell a friend to get with the programs.
Oh, you're gonna take me home tonight. Oh, down beside that red firelight. Oh.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. As I said, my guest this evening is Roger Sugden. It is sort of Open Line and Roger Sugden, and I want to explain why. Roger was with us, I can't remember, several months ago. He is the assistant director of MUFON in the state of Indiana. And he was teaching course at the university on UFOs and was getting sort of not very serious or polite treatment from a local radio station there. And so we had him on the show, and we talked about the course, and we talked about media treatment and so forth. Roger, I had planned to do an open line show tonight. Roger sent me an email today, and the course he taught was so well received by the university that they've asked him to come back and teach it again, but at a different one of their campuses. And so we've sort of made a very quick shift of the gears to include Roger. I want to get him on, and I want us to talk about what he's doing. However, we will talk about, if you call in with another topic, we'll talk about that, and perhaps you'll have something that you would like to ask Roger that is either on the topic of his teaching this course or perhaps some other topic having to do with UFOs. And I do want to share with you, before I bring Roger on, I do want to share with you that I got an email asking why I play rock music. Why don't, for breaks and, before the show and all that, why do I play rock music? Why don't I play some new age stuff that would be more in keeping with the theme of our show? Well, see, I don't like stereotypes. And the answer is quite simple. I like rock music. I hate new age music. That's why I do it. So, for those of you who are wondering, I think music that puts you to sleep is great for putting you to sleep. I am not interested in going to sleep. Right now, we have interesting things to do and talk about, and I like rock music. I like country music, too, sometimes, and we're going to do a night of all country music probably next week. Roger Sugden, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show.
Hi, thank you. I also like rock music. Thank you.
Well, I like it. I don't care which decade it's from. If it's done well, I like it. Would you believe that I have In a Gotta Da Vida by Iron Butterfly?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I've got In a Gotta Da Vida. Now, see, some of our youngsters out there who are listening to the show, they're going, In a Gotta Da Vida, what's that? Oh, what a masterpiece of rock. I'll do it one night. But it's like 18 minutes long.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's long. What, do you remember the song?
Oh, I do. Yes, I do.
You remember that drum solo?
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Yes, I'm from that era and quite a music fan of that, and Queen also, which you just previously had on.
That's right. And, but I like the new stuff, too, and as long as it's done well, and we play some of that as well. Okay, well, let's get to UFOs and courses and media coverage. Roger, the last time you were with us, you were teaching a course, or you were just about to wrap up the course, I think. At which university was it?
This is, it's called IPFW, which is Indiana Purdue at Fort Wayne. And it's a rather large campus here, and it was well received here. They thought I'd have 8 students, and there was 20, and more wanted to. We're literally walking in the door, and turned out it was very well, and they received, and they want me to do another one at their IPFW campus just 40 miles away in Warsaw, Indiana.
So, the public thought well of it, but local media had some ha-ha about it, didn't they?
Oh, they did. They sort of survived their ratings here, the local media, on that, and but the local newspaper did a very good article, which kind of went all over the internet and in a few magazines that I didn't know about, and I heard from all kinds of people everywhere. There's evidently only a few people that are willing to go to universities and actually teach a course on UFOs. The place where you should teach it.
One of the things that really is interesting to me, now, and I mean this in a very serious way, I don't consider UFOs to have any ha-ha factor in them. I mean, there are hoaxes. We all know that. But there's counterfeit money, too, and we still spend the real stuff. You know, you hear people come out with this sort of almost quasi-religious, righteous indignation that this is being taught at a university. Well, now, let me think. When I went to university, I remember taking a class where they taught Hamlet fiction. You know, Hamlet's fiction, the play. They taught, I remember that we had to read not only Hamlet, but we had to read Macbeth. That's fiction. Now, if these people who have this righteous indignation consider UFOs to be the stuff of science fiction, and they're teaching fiction for college credit, how can they justify their righteous indignation?
Well, you see, UFOs are something scary outside the box that is unknown, and it virtually threatens most of the people that object to it. They're threatened by it somehow, and they're not the ones that are going to go to that university, but they just don't want other people knowing about it because they feel threatened by it. And
well, it's called paradigm protection.
Yeah.
That's what it is. They're protecting the paradigm that they have religiously attached themselves to. And but you follow what I'm saying. If you're going to teach, look, there are universities that teach fiction writing, whole courses in how to write fiction. And would not surprise me that this university has courses like that. If I don't know that they do, but it would not surprise me.
Mm-hmm.
There are universities that teach filmmaking. There are universities that teach playwriting and screenplay writing. And it all deals with fiction. And it makes no logical sense whatsoever for people who think that UFOs are fiction to oppose to that being taught, because we're already teaching fiction.
Well, I usually, I don't tell them, you know what I tell them. I said, I'm not here to make you a believer. You know, I don't care if you believe in them or not, because they don't require a belief system. They're still there. They've been
exactly
there. And I'm here to, as an educational course, but they, in this past course, they literally nearly forced me to tell me. They say, well, this is all good, we like hearing about this, but what about your personal experiences? We want to hear that. And I said, okay, fair enough. I said, but I will tell you that after 8:30, after the class is over, because I can't teach it as part of the class, my personal beliefs or personal encounters. After the class is over, you can stick around, and I'll be happy to tell you. And it turns out a two-hour class turns into a three-hour class, which I don't mind. I say, I'll stay there until everybody leaves, because they're really, really interested, and they want to hear this, and it turns out that many of them have had their own sightings and encounters, and they're not sure, and so they want to hear it from somebody else. And they're quite surprised. But I hear it all the time from people.
Do you remember in the first movie, Men in Black, Will Smith did the theme song? You remember that? It was a little kind of a light rap theme song called Men in Black.
Oh, yes.
Oh, it was great. And there was one line in there that says, what you see, you did not, what you saw, you did not see. And that's what we keep getting told, you know. Oh, well, what you saw, you didn't see it. You saw something else.
Sure.
You know.
But a lot of people, the official, there's a very official disinformation campaign going on, but people don't buy it. They know what they saw, and they will tell other people. total strangers, I mention UFOs, and they say, yeah, you know, I had a sighting. They've never met me before, and they feel comfortable telling me about it.
Well, I think things are changing, slowly, but they are changing. And I think part of it is because of the persistence of not just my show, but mine and shows like mine, in bringing guests who are willing to openly talk about UFOs and their own experiences and sightings or their research, and to do so intelligently. And I think so, you know, that's why things are changing slowly, but changing, where people are a little more willing to talk about it. And a good example of this is the O'Hare International Airport sighting.
Oh, yes, you read my mind.
That's a good indication, a good example, because you had United Airlines covering up and saying nobody reported it to us. And their employees sort of went ballistic and said, by God, we did. We did report it to you. How dare you say that we didn't? And and not only did we report it, it was not a weather anomaly. It was a metallic object.
Yes, it was. And as a matter of fact, Dan Aykroyd, who is an outspoken person for MUFON, is going to be coming up. He's actually purchased rights and videos, and he's going to be doing I guess a video. It may take a year but to put together, but specifically on the O'Hara sighting, I'm really familiar with that. And it was written up in the Chicago Tribune online and chicagotribune.com, and the writer said, well, I'm a transportation writer. I don't know why I did this, but I went out there, and he actually interviewed everyone and did a very good story on it. And he said it was the most read story in the Tribune.
On their internet site, they got over 1 million hits on that story.
Yeah.
In 24 hours.
It just totally surprised him. And he says, well, I just don't understand why, in the age of cell phone cameras, that nobody had gotten a picture of this. And I explained to him that when you're having a sighting like this, you are so awestruck that you can virtually have a camera around your neck, and you forget about it. You're just fascinated with this. It's happened to me. You'll have a camera in your hand, and you won't remember it.
Yeah.
You're focused on what you're looking at. And but they do indeed have photographs of it and videos of it. And United Airlines did tell their employees it'd be better not to talk about it. But there were so many of them that saw it on the ground, and pilots, and in the air traffic controllers,
and
other people,
and yeah, the public scattered throughout the parking areas.
Now, we
heard about, you know, people who were in parking areas, parking lots, that saw it. And, you know, it's just way too big, too public. And, you know, someone needs to get to these guys in the corporation and get their head spun back around facing forward. You know, don't deny stuff that everybody saw. Nobody is going to believe you from that day forward.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if it happened, it happened. Why run from it?
That's something that's happening a lot more. That was hanging over a major world airport in public view. A lot of people saw it. It's not the first time it happened. And I sent an email to the writer of the Chicago Tribune saying, it's not the first time. It's something that happens more and more. And they're happening where, in very public areas, where hundreds of people are seeing this sighting, or even thousands of people. And the official doctrine is that was a weather phenomenon. Oh,
yeah,
geez. Well,
very phenomenal. It created a metallic object.
Yeah, that punched through the clouds and sucked up the clouds. And here's a nice hole left in the clouds. That's not a weather phenomenon. But they said the same thing about UFOs over Washington, D.C. Oh, there was a weather inversion.
Yeah.
And same thing about Roswell.
Well, there, it was a weather balloon.
Yeah, no, it's just that they come up with any number. I think what's it called? Plausible denial. And they have a whole list of things, and they find one that fits. And
well, sometimes they find something that doesn't fit. Now, we had, I don't know if you've heard about it, because the major media has been about as rapid as frozen molasses in reporting it.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a repeat of the Phoenix Lights out here night before last.
Oh, yeah.
And some differences, not so much in appearance, but it was not just flying down over the valley as the original Phoenix Lights incident. In that one, in the first one 10 years ago, that object was actually seen over a course of about 200 miles. And as it flew down across Arizona, and it left Phoenix and flew down towards Tucson. Well, this one was stationary, but there is video, and the video, I had a link to the video on my site last night. And already there are people saying, oh, it's flares. Well, look, you know, a catfish would not believe that story. Nothing with intelligence beyond an amoeba would believe that story. Roger, hang on. We have to take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue talking about your UFO involvement and your course. Folks, we'll be back right after this.
Valentine's Day is almost here. Pro Flowers has an incredible offer just for radio listeners. Order one dozen roses for just $29.99 and get another dozen roses free, plus free chocolates and a free vase. That's two dozen roses plus chocolates and a vase for just $29.99. Pro Flowers roses were rated best value by the Wall Street Journal. For this incredible offer, click on the Pro Flowers banner on your media player now or visit proflowers.com. Click on the radio microphone in the upper right-hand corner and type in the password Internet. That's proflowers.com. Radio microphone, password Internet.
I should have known I would need you after so long. Even alone, I can feel your arms around me. So I'm on my way.
One estimate says 72 million people are listening to radio on the Internet. That's a lot of ears finding something better. Internet radio, used by more people to hear new radio. Radio online. Tell a friend to get with the programs.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I'm talking this evening with Roger Sugnan, the Assistant State Director for MUFON in Indiana. And Roger, before we cut away, we were talking about this Phoenix Lights second episode. Yeah, two nights ago in the west side of the valley. Some people are not aware that Phoenix is in a valley. We are. An hour to the north of us, they get snow. An hour to the south of us, there's plenty of water. And you got to wonder what made someone, those original pioneers, come through this valley with nothing but rattlesnake and cactus and say, this is where we're going to build a town. And I know the answer. I've given it a lot of thought. It was a broken wagon wheel. And he just said, Ma, this is it. And that's, I don't know that to be a fact, but I cannot imagine why anybody would build a city right out here in North Hill. But our winters are superb. Now, where you are, it was how cold today?
About 5 degrees Fahrenheit.
We were about 80 degrees.
Boy, that hurts to hear that.
Now, when it look, pardon me, we do get, on very rare occasion, we get down to freezing, down to 32 degrees Fahrenheit or zero Celsius. Very rare, and that will be like for one night in a winter. But we'll hover around 50 to 60 degrees during the coldest part of our winter. Not bad, huh?
It makes me wonder if I'm not living in the wrong place.
We have what we sort of irreverently refer to as snowbirds. People who live in snowbound areas in the wintertime who leave that and come here for the winter. And it's a great boon for our economy. In the summertime, everyone, including natives, are trying to get out of here. But we had this this repeat of the Phoenix Lights. And we've already started hearing, you know, flares, flares, flares. So I want to ask you, since you're the assistant director of a state MUFON, have you ever come across any military flares that do not sway on their parachutes? They are lit equal, and they are spaced equidistant from each other. They can turn on and turn off and in sequence and leave no smoke trails and do not descend to the earth. Have you ever run into any military flares that can do that?
No, they can't do that. They sort of get bright and vary, and they drop, and they'll blow in the wind, but they'll drop. And they're on parachutes, are made to come down. They don't turn on and off. They'll come down so far and sometimes burn out, but in sequence, not likely. But that is, I believe that was the first response to the Phoenix Lights a couple of years ago. It was had a huge write-up in USA Today, a full page.
Oh, yeah, the mystery of the Phoenix Lights has been solved. Yeah, and they wanted to say it was flares.
Mm.
But flares, you see, burn. Things that burn cause smoke. Flares put out smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the deal in Arkansas, they said, well, it's a new kind of flare. It's a magnesium flare, et cetera. Yeah, still, I don't care if it's. I've seen magnesium burn. It puts out smoke. I don't care what you burn, it leaves smoke. And you can see that at nighttime because of the lights of the flares. And plus, this was over the city, so you have ambient light from the street lights. And no smoke. They didn't fall. They were equidistant, turning on and off in sequence. And, you know, but we still get that treatment. And one caller last night said, well, it could be that the people who have to put out these reports and these statements, it could be that they're saying to themselves, okay, nobody's going to believe this, but we have to say something, so Okay, wink, wink. It was flares.
Well, then they should look at the readership of the Chicago Tribune after the O'Hara story, because people saw that it was a daylight sighting. That's unusual in broad daylight over a major airport. Of course, that doesn't cause any Homeland Security concern, does it? And all these people saw it, videotaped it, took photographs of it, and it was the most read story. And I'm finding that more and more of these are occurring on large scale over cities. It's sort of ratcheting up. And I think this year is going to be, if this is any indication, this year is going to be very, very busy.
Very active, huh?
It's going to be very active. I've had my own personal sightings, and I haven't had to go anywhere but my back porch. So
this year?
This was, no, it wasn't this year. This was July 9th of last year. It was the most unusual personal sighting I've ever had. Flew right over my house.
Uh-huh.
And being a trained observer, I know exactly what I saw and can describe it in detail, and I had somebody out there with me. And, of course, like everybody else, reported it to MUFON and New Fork and everywhere else I could, and come to find out that a man 3 days previously had seen exactly the same thing at exactly the same time, 11:30 at night. I saw mine on a Saturday night. He saw his on a Wednesday night at his home at the same time in California. And he described it perfectly. And I've never seen...
What did this one look like?
This one flew directly over my house as we were skywatching. I'm looking straight up, and it comes over my house right between my eyes. Impossible to miss. It was self-illuminating, and it was a pinkish-red in color. No lights on it, no sound, but the entire thing was lit. It looked like a giant football shape with these huge wing-like appendages on it. And inside the wings, these horizontal lines, which were vibrating and went in a straight line for about 7 seconds and disappeared. And I've never heard or seen anything like it. And, of course, the logical mind starts to kick in. And my friend sent me this report, and he says, this person saw exactly what you saw at the same time just a few days previously in San Marcos, California, at his house, which is kind of a great confirmation for me.
Well, I have to say, I've never heard of a UFO described that way. I think I would have been astounded myself. Kind of reddish and pinkish color?
It was. It was, the entire thing was self-illuminated.
Now, the wings that it had, were they like aircraft wings?
No, they weren't. It was a football shape, and they were sort of giant wings. They weren't moving. That was the shape. They had these wing-like appendages, I call them. Weren't flapping, weren't moving, but inside these wings you could see these horizontal lines vibrating. And I don't mind telling people that 3 days later, since I've told people this, I looked on my right ankle, and there, just as plain as day, is a what I call a red, sort of like a burn mark, a triangle mark. It's not the first one, but many people have had them. And I wondered about this, and the thought that came into my mind is something that happened on the Mothman prophecies, where the person said, was asking about this, and they said, well, that's just a confirmation of what you saw. As they said, they're giving you a confirmation saying, we know you're paying attention, and we want you to know that we know you're paying attention. But anyway, there was...
But you were not abducted.
Not that I'm aware of.
Mm-hmm.
But I had this triangular burn mark on my ankle, and it stayed there. You could see it. It stayed there for over a year. Just turned a little brown, you know, as the skin stretches, it changes shapes. But that wasn't the first one. I mean, I was familiar with these.
And, how do you suppose you and others get these if you are not physically in contact with them?
Boy, I wish I knew that. Whatever these things are capable of doing things that are just unknown. Because I immediately checked. I said, I ran in and I looked at the clock. I wanted to know what time it was. Did any time pass here? It was 11:30. I had a witness to it, and he was with me. And I said, I followed up on it. I said, did you have any dreams? Did you have any scars? Did you have anything? And nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But it turns out, it sounds bizarre, but it's not that unusual. It's happened to many people. But how they get these is unknown. I don't know. I wish I did. I could probably write a book just on that.
Oh, I think that's a fascinating phenomenon. I've heard of actually of things similar happening. But when you looked at the clock, there was no missing time, huh?
No, none at all. However, according to me, there's no missing time. But in the past history, those people who know about the South American incident where a soldier was walking behind with his soldier friends, and he literally disappeared for 15 minutes. When he returned, behind the other soldiers, and he was in a somewhat state of confusion. He was gone for 15 minutes. However, he had a 5-day growth of beard on him. So I have no doubt there's some sort of time manipulation. So if you were gone for 30 seconds or 1 minute, you really wouldn't know unless you had a stopwatch with you. There's been many, many stories of that where people don't look at the clock. They're so busy looking at what they're looking at, they don't think to look at their wristwatch and, you know, time it as the second hand goes by. But if you were gone for 60 seconds, you wouldn't really know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a major thing going on. It happens all over the world. It's not, you know, specific to any geographical area or any type of race or people. It happens to a lot of people all over the world. But it's so bizarre, you know, to think you have no control over this. There's nothing you can do about it, but it's not something new. People think this has happened, since 1947. If anybody wants to look back at the ancient Sumerian records, you'll find out that they wrote in great detail about these people, I think they're called the Anunnaki, and that they had given modern civilization almost everything we use today, laws, marriages, the wheel, virtually everything. And it seems, and I've taught this in my course, I say, I'd like to give you a historical perspective. I say, are you aware that Alexander the Great, who is known throughout history, everybody learns about him. What they don't learn is that when he was laying siege to the city of Tyre, a fleet in a V formation of UFOs came over, and Alexander the Great could not breach the walls of the city that he was laying siege to. The UFOs flew around these walls and evidently had blasted a hole in the wall for him, and not knowing what they were, he simply, being a military person, took advantage of that and went in to the city, and these UFOs stayed around until he had virtually taken over the city.
Okay, now I have to ask you,
throughout history.
Have to ask you, how do we know that story? I know a lot about Alexander, but I've never heard that. What's the source on that?
One of my UFO books, which is geared towards the history. I don't know which book it is, but there. If you get just about any book on the history of UFOs, where do they occur in history? You'll find that the Roman emperors put this down in writing. Egyptian pharaohs, Thutmose the Third, had his scribes write about it in great detail. Alexander the Great. It's all throughout history. The Sumerians, and this is approximately 5,000 years ago. And these things have been around for a long, long time. It's not a modern phenomenon. We just hear more about it because we've got, more media, the internet, television, videos, and all of that.
Well, I know I studied ancient history in college, and part of what we studied was the Sumerians, and there was absolutely nothing in that course that spoke at all about the things that we now know they wrote. And so I guess I have to say, a little surprised to hear this story about Alexander. It's the first time I've heard that.
Yeah, this is... I wish I could lay my hands on the book so I could tell you.
Okay, well, look, we have to take a break, and when we come back from the break, we'll continue. And perhaps during the break you'll remember, and if not, so what? It's okay. All right, folks, we'll be back with Roger Sugden in just a moment. Don't go away.
Of Internet radio listeners have two or more friends who also listen to radio on the Internet. Internet radio, being used by more people to hear new radio. Radio online. Tell a friend to get with the programs.
Yeah.
Valentine's Day is almost here. Pro Flowers has an incredible offer just for radio listeners. Order one dozen roses for just $29.99 and get another dozen roses free, plus free chocolates and a free vase. That's two dozen roses plus chocolates and a vase for just $29.99. Pro Flowers roses were rated best value by the Wall Street Journal. For this incredible offer, click on the Pro Flowers banner on your media player now or visit proflowers.com. Click on the radio microphone in the upper right-hand corner and type in the password Internet. That's proflowers.com. Radio microphone, password Internet.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest is Roger Sugden, and he is the assistant director of MUFON in Indiana. He is also the instructor for a university course about UFOs. Roger, you know, one of the things I haven't asked you is the title of that course.
The title of the course is called UFOs, Perception, Reality, and Sightings in Indiana. And it is going to be offered here in March 3rd, 10th, and 17th on Saturdays and at the IPFW Warsaw Center in Warsaw, Indiana. And if people are interested here, I don't know if they are, the course details, they can visit Learn, that's L-E-A-R-N dot I-P-F-W dot E-D-U. That's a course description there.
All right.
They'd be interested in how they write up course descriptions.
Now, let me ask you this. Have you begun to get media attention yet? And if so, how are they treating you this time?
No, it's very quiet at the moment. The local newspapers and media seem to wait until a week or two before you actually start this course, which is odd to me. I'm going to contact the same writer in the same newspaper, virtually the same people, even Pat White.
Pat White was the one that gave you kind of a ha-ha ride on the radio, right?
Oh, yes, he did. And I will invite him to come to my course. And if he can't do that, I will make myself available to debate him at any time. Because I know almost what they're going to say before they say it.
Well, yeah, most of us do. You know, it's like they get that script when they go through journalism classes at whatever universities they go to. It's almost like they get the script there, and they feel honor-bound to the alma mater to read the script.
They do.
And, you know, it's really unfortunate, though. And like I said when we talked about this previously on the previous show, I don't know Pat White. I've got nothing against Pat White. But I think it's just unfortunate for anybody to take that tack of ridicule, even if what they're saying is, well, come on, you know, this is a comedy show. Okay, but, you know, it's unfortunate, and it's not because I'm a believer. I don't believe in UFOs at all. I think I told you that before. I don't believe in Volkswagens, beer cans, Coke bottles. I don't believe in the Autobahn or the freeways. They either exist or they don't. And, you know, why do I have to believe in a doorknob? A doorknob exists. It doesn't call for me to believe in it. And I take the same approach with UFOs. Either they exist or they don't. It's not a question, really, for rational minds, do they exist? The question is, what are they? Where do they come from? What do they want? Those are the questions. And I think it's a big enough deal that the mainstream media should, first of all, it's a big enough deal that they should take it seriously in their reporting. but it's a big enough deal that also they need to understand that about 75 to 80% of their readers are absolutely convinced that UFOs do exist. And whenever they report something with that ridiculous tone in their voice, making fun of it, they're reporting something that's insulting to 75 to 80% of their readers and or listeners. Now, that's an absolutely asinine business move.
It is. It's been done many times where they insult the public, saying, well, the public's really stupid. They don't know. You know, they don't know what they're seeing. They're seeing this or that. And I said, well, and their approach is, you know, don't confuse me with the facts. And I say, well, you know, I tell them, I say, well, you ever heard of Egypt? Have you ever heard of King Tutmosis III? You know, do you know about this sighting here? You know, from 1479, and King Tutmosis was regarded as by historians as having been one of the greatest of all the rulers of Egypt. And he wrote this down in great detail. I said, it's historical fact. You can read it. Or, if you're a fan of the Roman Empire, you can read it there. I said, it's all throughout history. It's written history. Or you can go back to the Sumerians and you can read that. If, you know, they had a form of cuneiform writing on tablets. I say, it's written down in great detail. But you're going to have to do a little searching because the main history books are going to leave that part out. They don't want to tell you that. That's something that just doesn't quite fit.
There are several things that history books leave out, and I have wondered many times why. Of course, UFO sightings by emperors, by pharaohs, by a host of famous, powerful people. Those are left out of history books. The absolute record of the discovery of giant skeletons in tombs, even right here in the United States of America, is totally, completely ignored in history books.
Oh, yes. You got to do some digging. Literally. It's right here in Indiana, and it don't even have to go to UFOs. You can go to the ancient mound cultures, what they call Hopewell and Edina, where they have dug up skeletons that were nearly 11 feet tall.
Yeah.
These are not Native Americans. And the artifacts that a friend just told me about tonight are, they don't fit. These are the type of things that they stash away in the basement of museums because no archaeologist is willing to go on record at saying, oh, look, this is very important, but it just doesn't fit in our known paradigm. We'll hide it away here. And they literally don't let you see these things. They don't put them on display.
Well, the question is, what are they afraid of? You know, whatever is, and that's all that is.
They're afraid that a museum is going to get hate mail from somebody, or somebody's credibility will get taken away, or funding, or they're going to lose their credentials. That's what they're most
afraid of. Well, yeah, the credibility of intellectual mudsuckers will be taken away, but nobody else's. All right, it's top of the hour, and when we come back from this break, we will open the telephone lines, and we'll open the flash message feature as well, all right? So we'll be back right after this.
One estimate says 72 million people are listening to radio on the Internet. That's a lot of ears finding something better. New music, old music, talk, independent artists. Internet radio has everything. Plus, it's digital, online, and turns on with a click. Of course, you know all this. So pass the word. Internet radio, being used by more people to hear new radio. Radio online. Tell a friend to get with the programs.
I don't know why you put me through this pain. All my life I've given you everything. But I've seen right through you. There's gonna be no escape chance for you. You can drink his wine, cause pain never through. Well, I'm no longer gonna play his game, cause this ain't nothing but a low down dirty shame. Down dirty shame. Hey, 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 yeah. Low down. Low down dirty shame. All right. Let me talk to you one time.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest is Roger Sugden. He is the assistant director of MUFON in Indiana, and he teaches a course about UFOs, perceptions and realities, and he taught that at the university there, and then has been invited to come teach it again, and so we're just chatting about that course and about UFOs in general. Roger, we have a call, so let's go straight to the phone line.
Sure.
And caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Hello, Roger.
Hello.
Do you think the French, with their disclosure of UFOs in their files, seeing it's France, do you think that will make much difference in the UFO world?
I do. I think the other countries have done it. Russia has completely opened their UFO files. Belgium and a few other countries have admitted to UFOs in their skies. The more countries that come out and say, yes, we have a problem and our files are open, the more pressure it's going to put on the remaining countries to do the same. I love it when they do that because it's just another confirmation.
Let me break in with this. I think one of the great things that's happening with the French files is they're going to put them on the Internet.
Oh, terrific. Yes.
And then we'll have to call Michelle to translate for us, because, Michelle, you speak French, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, bonjour, Michelle.
Bonjour. Yeah, well, I mean, they got physical evidence, the French, because they had that sighting that landed there where the rocks were melted, and they had radiation readings that were that lasted over a month.
When was this?
You know, they get some pretty good stuff from France here. I've been following them for years.
When did this sighting happen, Michelle?
This was back in, I think, the 50s. But they made a book with the generals and everything that was given the details of what they saw. And this kind of got into a magazine like Look. All the pictures and everything. And this thing ain't been translated in English yet. It's still in French. What was it? Friedman. Stanley. Mr. Friedman there.
Stan Friedman.
Yeah, he wants to read it because he was talking about it once. But another thing was, did you know, Kevin, that there was somebody put to death because of UFOs?
No.
Yes, back in the 1300s.
Really?
Yeah, and that was Dominic something. He was a monk, and he said we weren't alone, so he was burnt at the stake.
Yes. Very dangerous back then to say things like that.
So, I mean, it's been around for a long time. It just had, this year has been really weird. Like, I was talking with Kevin last night. There's so many sightings, and, like, we heard about Iran, and now we don't hear nothing coming out of there. It seems like somebody closed it right up.
Well, yeah. Hey, you know, I don't have any specific knowledge. I haven't heard anything. I don't know anything about those Iran sightings. But I will tell you that it, because of the situation over their nuclear processing, it would not surprise me if those are unmanned surveillance vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
That would not surprise me. Now, I could be wrong. You know, I may be 1,000,000% wrong. But if we were to find out that that's what it was, that would not surprise me.
But like, excuse me, go ahead.
Go ahead, Roger.
Let me just say this. I'll say this real quick. I did find the book and the reference to the Alexander, and also that I believe that I'm fairly convinced that this country, the USA, at least, does have their own UFOs. Usually probably triangular shaped vehicles that they are using and flying. They're not really worried about them being seen, because what are we going to say? I saw a UFO.
What convinces you of that?
Pardon me?
Why are you convinced that we have those?
Because I've heard firsthand reports of these, one of them in Texas, by a very credible witness who saw one of these triangular-shaped UFOs fly right over him, and he looked at it with a high-powered scope that was on his rifle. He was out hunting, and he saw markings on this in English having to do with a hatch, and this was plain English letters. And there was no sound, there was no jet noise, it was moving very slowly, it was a triangular object, and he could plainly read these letters in English.
Wow.
These are great eyewitness accounts.
Yeah. Michelle, did you have another question or comment?
Just, I wondered if either one of you heard anything about Nick Pope, because he came out there, and then he's been quiet. I don't know if he's writing another book or what.
Yes, I have. As a matter of fact, I talked with Nick Pope last week via email, and he will be on the show tomorrow night.
Oh, well.
Yes. He's a very, very good guy. He's written a number of books, and he used to work with MOD, the Ministry of Defense there, and very brave of him to come out and write books, I must say, working for the government in...
Well, he's ended that. He's no longer working for them. So,
good for him.
Yeah. Okay, Michelle, thanks for the call. As always, very interesting.
Thank you.
All right, folks, the telephone number is 1-800-289-1092, 1-800-289-1092. And it is open for you if you wish to call in. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and where are you calling from? Hello, caller. Okay. Okay. Well, it's open if you want to call, all right? And if you live outside of North America and you wish to participate in the show, you've got a question or a comment for Roger, you can send me an email. Send it to flash@kevinsmithshow.com, and I'll get it, and I'll read it, all right? All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and where are you calling from?
Francine.
Francine, are you? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from California.
Are you a first-time caller?
This is my second.
Oh, okay. Well, welcome aboard again.
Well, thank you very much.
All right. What was your question or comment?
Okay, the thing is, we're talking about the poor people that would put out sightings they had seen with pictures and videos, and how they were always discredited and how ridiculed. I hate to be now on the other side of being the one in the military that has to come out and say, oh, those were just flares. Who sounds like the idiot now? Who is the one that people are going, you sound like a nut. There's something wrong with you. We know better than that. We know it's not flares. So now I think it's turning around, don't you think, a little bit?
Well, you know, Francine, that when the Air Force a few years ago came out with their Roswell final case closed, they made a slight mistake. In their report, they said, well, we had this project and we did this and that, and somebody told them that, well, you're saying that, you know, our witnesses didn't know what they were saying. The Air Force claimed that the witnesses didn't know what year it was. That was their. They said, "Well, your project didn't start until the 1950s," and the being caught. The Air Force said, "Well, obviously your witnesses didn't realize what year it was."
Yes, that
it was 1947, and they said, "Whoa, oh well, it was actually 1952." So your witnesses didn't know what year it was. That's ludicrous.
Sure.
That's the best example I can think of.
Oh, of course. Well, see, the thing is, I have taken a lot of videos, and I've had a lot of things posted on very well-known websites. And there's one now that I took of a huge black triangular craft that was just over my house that is now, I sent the video and pictures of it that is now being on UFO Northwest. And I just sent them the video on it. They've got the pictures from the video that he has posted on his site. And now the video will be on there of this huge craft with its bright light shining right down as I'm at the window, shooting up at this huge craft as it's moving over my house.
Was there any noise?
None.
Mm-hmm.
None at all. And I've got many that I've had.
Well, Francine, I hate to tell you, but that was just flares.
That's what I was just going to say. I said, well, wait a minute. Now, you know, I'm over here in the suburbs, and I guess that was some big flare that went off and came back on. And it was attached to a big black V type of thing that was solid because it was blacker than the sky. And
yeah.
It moved.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see it moving over my house.
Okay. Well, it's probably a weather anomaly.
Or that. You know, it could have been a black cloud.
Do you live near a swamp?
It could have been a black cloud moving
if there were many people that saw it, you see, the classic explanation would have been, oh, that was obviously a mass hallucination.
Oh, of course. What do you people want? You're in California. Geez, we know what you people are taking, you know. Hey.
Well, and you have special cameras out there, too, that we've heard, special cameras that can videotape and photograph a hallucination.
That's right. You know, and I bet they have one right over my house over here on this hill, And I think it was probably, they shot it right over my house, so this way it's almost like one of those holograms.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted me to see it because they wanted, you know, say, wow, let's get this person to think that this, these things are really happening. You know, that's just another one we can check off as a nut. but my video picked it up. Isn't that wonderful?
Hallucinating.
Could I?
Well, you know, one of the things that I say, Francine, all the time is, you know, if they need to use a cover story for whatever reason, fine. Mm-hmm. You know, just get better script writers because they're telling stuff that's just absolutely not plausible in today's world.
They're running out what else are they going to call it? Swamp gas, clouds, birds?
Well, you know, it's almost as if someone that's putting out this explanation wants it to be so ridiculous that they want you to know that you're actually right. This is so ridiculous that it's almost put out there on purpose as to be that ridiculous on purpose.
Yeah, it seems so.
They can't possibly believe that the public is going to buy this. That's why I use the word ludicrous.
Definitely. Well, gee, you know, if I could email just the pictures to Kevin that I took from the video itself to his show, I would do that right now.
Well, sure, you can.
Could I do that? I can do that right now.
Our email address is host, H-O-S-T.
H-O-S-T.
At kevinsmithshow.com.
Did you say O-F?
Yeah, host at kevinsmithshow.com.
kevinsmithshow.com. I'm going to do that right now.
Okay.
And there's probably going to be about four or five of them, and you're going to see this. Whatever it is, I guess it's just my hallucination that I got on tape.
New flares.
Yeah. Flares that are attached to some big black triangular thing.
Yeah.
So I'm going to
do
that right
now. I look forward to it.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks, Francine.
Thanks, Francine.
Oh, yeah. Good call.
Well, I was going to tell you, if any listeners wanted to know, or actually you, first time you've heard it, the Alexander the Great sighting is out of a book called UFOs, the Complete Sightings by Peter Brooksmith, and it's Barnes & Noble put it out.
Outstanding.
And it's on page 14.
Okay. I will be sure to get my hands on that. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. If you will, tell us your name and where you're calling from.
This is Brent from Wyoming.
Yes, Brent.
Roger, I have a favor to ask of you.
Sure.
Could you give us a rundown of your syllabus so we know what your class is about? I mean, we could read the description. Yeah.
Yes. I'll read you right out of what they wrote in the brochure. It's called UFOs, Perceptions, Reality, Sightings in Indiana. And it said UFOs have been in the skies and on the ground for centuries and were documented by Egyptian pharaohs and Roman emperors. But did you know that during March and April of 2006, Indiana had the highest number of UFO sightings in the world? In this course, participants will see photos of actual UFOs and discuss UFO history, the best UFO cases studied, and UFO sightings in the local area. Crop circles will also be part of the class discussions. They threw that in. And I'm going to vary it a little bit from my last course, but one person I knew this question would come up is they asked me, are you one of these people who holds back information? And I said, absolutely not. And I said, I will give it to you. I said, if it makes you uncomfortable, let me know. If any of the slides or the information, you can get up and walk out. But I said, I'm not going to hold back here. I said, I'm going to put it all out there for you. I said, that is my aim of doing this, and that is one of MUFON's missions, is to educate the public on the UFO phenomenon and its potential impact on society. I said, you put it out there. You give it to people. They're intelligent enough to process it and, you know, put it out there.
Okay, Brent, thank you for the call.
Yeah, goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome.
Roger, I have a question now. I would think that people who take the course would be both intelligent enough and psychologically stable enough to take the information.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that you and I talked about before, and I think we did, and I think you did not agree with me, and most people don't, is my position that the majority of people cannot handle full disclosure. And I call to witness what happened in Boston when a TV network, a cable network, put some black boxes out with a cartoon figure on them to advertise an upcoming movie with that cartoon.
Oh, yes.
And they went absolutely ape freaky.
They did, yeah.
And imagine real disclosure. We'll come back to that, but let's go to the phone. And caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and where are you calling from?
Hi, Kevin. It's Debbie from Columbus.
Yeah.
Interesting talk tonight. Roger, I just wanted to say that that radio show host who ridiculed you, he obviously hasn't been exposed to what the rest of us have been exposed to. I'm a contactee. I've had contactee twice. And I just want to say, you know, those of us in Kevin Smith land, we support you.
That's nice to know.
Because, you know, that's obviously from someone who is very opinionated of themselves and very narrow-minded and not really open to any new or exciting subjects coming their way.
I'd love to go one-on-one with them because I have no problem telling them about my personal experiences, and I've had a few. And like I said, I don't hold back. I said, I'm going to put it out there for you. And I believe people are intelligent enough to process it. And I think they can handle the truth. And
I think people who would enroll for the class can. But I think that the general public is so ill-informed about UFOs. And it's an event that rocks their life.
Oh, yes.
And I think full disclosure would give us a nation full of Boston.
I think you're right on that one. It would. I think that is the great fear of actually coming out and saying, okay, we're an official government agency. UFOs do exist. And they're in fact, they're right above your house right now. Just go ahead and go outside and look up. People, they would tend to panic.
I think so.
You know, they would say, we demand protection. In fact, I'm a little afraid of this UFO scenario being used as, I guess, a sort of a 9/11 thing, as Dr. Stephen Greer once said, that it can very possibly be used as a fake UFO invasion where we're going to create it and you're going to demand protection. And, oh, by the way, we're going to have to declare martial law to protect you,
mm-hmm.
sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so it's a very believable scenario. And if it ever comes down to, oh, there's so many sightings, then I would have to say, you know, be very careful with official explanations,
mm-hmm.
because they may have some ulterior motive here.
Debbie, did you have another question or comment?
Yeah. the Phoenix Lights, Kevin was talking about that on Open Line last night, and I gave my opinion, and those aren't flares. Those aren't military flares. I told Kevin my dad was in the military for almost 30 years before he retired, and I've seen military flares up close and personal. Those aren't military flares. Maybe if they would have said, you know, maybe they thought people might believe if they said something like, you know, phosphorescent birds or something like that at night. But, you know, those of us that are... have studied in this field or have actually had contactee or abductee experience, we know what's going on. I've told Kevin this a dozen times. We know what's going on. You know, the government doesn't have to try to convince us otherwise, that we're seeing things that are not there, we're hallucinating, you know, mass hallucination.
All right, Debbie, I appreciate the call, and you are right. It does exist. The question is, what is it? And I thank you again for the call. 1-800-289-1092 is the number to call. It's toll-free throughout North America. If you live outside of North America and you wish to, you have a question or a comment, you can send us a flash message. Send it to flash@kevinsmithshow.com. Now, let me say, I got three flash messages earlier. Our system detected they came from inside the United States, and the system deletes those. So, don't know what they said, but if it was important, use our toll-free number, all right? 1-800-289-1092. Roger, your course... what kind of people come to this? You had 20, so that's enough to kind of get a sampling of what are you getting?
I'm getting about, I'd say, three-quarters of them have had experiences of their own, and the other one-quarter are curious and skeptics, and that's about what I expected. But what I find very interesting is I find no college professors of any discipline coming to the courses or interested at all. They're almost, they're afraid to show up.
Yeah.
As all right, our radio personality.
We have to take a break. And let me say to the caller, if you'll just hang on, we'll get to you after this break. And we'll be back. So don't go away.
Valentine's Day is almost here. Pro Flowers has an incredible offer just for radio listeners. Order one dozen roses for just $29.99 and get another dozen roses free, plus free chocolates and a free vase. That's two dozen roses plus chocolates and a vase for just $29.99. Pro Flowers roses were rated best value by the Wall Street Journal. For this incredible offer, click on the Pro Flowers banner on your media player now or visit proflowers.com. Click on the radio microphone in the upper right-hand corner and type in the password Internet. That's proflowers.com. Radio microphone, password Internet.
Step off the porch and shade that blinding sun with my hand. Well, I can feel the heat reminding me where I am. I told her I'd wait here till she returned. I never knew how long that would be. You live and learn. Time in Texas, no prison walls and signs, only wide open spaces, and still I'm trapped inside. The minutes feel like days into this weary land. My lonely heart, broken, restless. Tell me, where's the justice? Doing time. She said it's no one's fault. Your dreams aren't the same as mine.
This station is your new breed of radio. Its programming is different and digital. Its audience is educated. One survey says 58% of the people listening to radio online have their graduate or postgraduate degree. 17% work in technology. 14% are professionals. Your mother would be proud if she knew you hung with such highbrows. Internet radio, being used by more people to hear new radio. Radio online. Tell a friend to get with the programs.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Ladies and gentlemen, we are speaking with Roger Sugden this evening, and he is the Assistant Director, Assistant State Director of MUFON in Indiana. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. If you will, tell us your first name and where are you calling from?
Yes, good evening, Kevin. This is Maurice from Pine Bush, New York.
Maurice, have you called before or are you a first time?
I'm not a first time.
Occasionally. Okay, very good.
I just want to say good evening to you and your guest, Roger.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Yes, I have a comment and possibly a question. You had a program on a while back discussing how times are changing with the media, the main media coming out with the UFO story.
Uh-huh.
And I noticed the other night, I was watching, Fox News, I was watching Heartland with John Kasich.
Okay.
And I was really kind of amazed because at the end of his little hour show, he had a somewhat UFO representative. And, of course, someone who didn't believe.
Uh-huh.
And the person who didn't believe was, of all people, Bill Nye, the science guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw that program or not. Probably
no.
Not. But I think that, first of all, here's a mainstream-type television show. And Heartland, which kind of like this guy, I think he was a congressman from the Heartland of America.
Uh-huh.
And here he has this, he's really kind of excited. He's got a little mini discussion about, UFOs. I don't know if O'Hare was mentioned or not. But then the other point of view is presented, which is Bill Nye, the science guy, who until I heard him speak about, skepticism of UFOs, I kind of liked him. But after hearing him, I thought like, well, he's not really very scientific because he hasn't looked at the evidence, obviously. But
and it amazes me because when you talk with someone who's supposed to be a scientist, what you really, really come away with is they are more religious than scientific.
Yeah. Well, you get kind of excited when you're on a mainstream media program. You say, oh, my goodness, they're starting to disclose now. That's not just a little side story on some, other mode of media. And then when you start listening, they're still playing the same old game, which is they bring out the guy and they say, oh, yeah, that's interesting. But what's your, why are you skeptical? And, of course, his thing was, well, you notice you never see a really good picture of a UFO.
And but that's not true.
I know. They don't really disclose the real evidence.
And also it's on Fox Network. You've got to take that into consideration.
Oh, yeah. But I guess you have to be optimistic that at least there's a story about a UFO.
And see, I don't mind having someone come on who is a total skeptic.
Right.
But I'm going to ask some tough questions. And, if they can handle it, fine. If they can't, fine. And really, I totally subscribe to this is a free country, and you can think what you want to think, and you can have opinions that you want to have. But I can, too.
Absolutely. And I just wish they would go into more in-depth about, what's really out there, what's been put out as evidence, and all the experts we have, ex-military people, but they never seem to go that route.
Well, I noticed you're from Pine Bush, New York. Now, I know that's one of the UFO hotspots in this country.
Well, Roger, it used to be. Unfortunately, there's been so much, New York City development and sprawl since 9/11,
mm-hmm.
that the kind of the areas, I guess, doesn't have as many sightings. But if you drive around the areas, like the Jewish cemetery where they had a lot of sightings and stuff, mm-hmm. You get a really eerie feeling, even though I haven't seen anything yet, But it's
I think they're still out there. People may looking as much.
Yeah, well, they're probably a little bit put off by all the people coming from the city moving up here, or they can't afford the area. Maybe that's it. I don't know. But another question, quick question for you, Roger, and also Kevin, if you'd like. I wonder if you could comment on your reaction or your feeling about Dr. Daniel Burrish.
Okay, Roger, go ahead.
You have to refresh me on that. I'm not familiar with
He's supposedly a scientist that has been part of Majestic 12 He's had a lot of interviews out as of late talking about his interaction with an EB, extraterrestrial being. And supposedly he sort of jeopardized the whole mission he was on to communicate with the guy, with the being. He went to Egypt, and in Egypt, I suppose, he befriended this entity, and he broke protocol and allowed him to slip through, this is his words, a stargate back to his planet. That's pretty wild.
Let me just say this. Some of these people that are making these claims, I don't know what to say. I'd be a little skeptical. I'm a skeptic, and I'd be a little skeptical of their claims. Some are out to write books. Some are out to give talks.
Right.
You really have to weed through the
I try to weed through, but you just never know. I mean, it's hard. It's a fantastic story.
It is a fantastic story, and I would really like to have Dr. Burrish on the show. So far, my emails to that effect have gone unanswered. But I would like to have him because, for me, the court is still out. The jury's still out. I don't know. The story that he tells may be true. I've got a lot of tough questions that I would like to ask.
And I would
like to open up the line and let our audience ask, because our audience always asks good questions.
Well, I wish you could have him on. That would be great, you know. I mean,
to date, I've not received replies to my emails.
Well, good luck.
He's not the only one, believe me. You know, I am not a skeptic, nor am I a believer.
Right.
What I've said is, you know, if it's a doorknob, it's a doorknob. If it's a UFO, it's a UFO. And if it's an extraterrestrial, then it's an extraterrestrial. And fine, you know, whatever it is, it is. But I have a lot of questions that I would like to ask before I can determine whether it really is a doorknob.
Absolutely. I agree with you, Kevin. The jury's out for me, but I'm just fascinated by hearing these tales, you know. And so who knows if they're true. They may be, they may not be true.
Mm-hmm.
But after listening to this gentleman's interview, he speaks very, I hate to use the word articulate, but he's very articulate in his speaking, and he seems very believable from what I've heard and seen.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, how to prove these things, I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, I appreciate talking to both you gentlemen tonight.
Well, we thank you for the call.
All right, you guys have a good night.
All right.
Thanks, you
Bye-bye.
Too.
1-800-289-1092, 1-800-289-1092. That's the toll-free number throughout North America. It works in California. It works in New York. It works in Canada. It works everywhere in North America. All right. Now, if you're outside of that area, you can send me a flash message, and I will be more than happy to read your flash message. And we will get Roger to respond to it. Okay, you send it to flash@kevinsmithshow.com. I did get an email that I want to address quickly, and that is, it was a flash message, but it had to do with what was the deal with yesterday. Mm-hmm. And the fact that for the first 15 or 20 minutes, we kept coming on and going off the air. I do know, and it was a problem not at our network, but a problem on the Internet itself, okay? And it was a major problem with DNS servers. Okay, now, Roger, he brought up, the last caller brought up a very good topic, and even though you're not familiar with Dr. Dan Burrish, you had an excellent response, which was, you know, you have to weed through these. And, you know, some of it's real, and then some of these people are not real. How do you do that? How do you determine when, if somebody's telling a story, and this story is so fantastic and at such levels that there's no possible way that you can confirm it, how do you weed through that and determine whether it's true?
Oh, boy. That's really tough because one of the... I found out that one of the sort of the misinformation campaigns is to just saturate, you know, if you can't discredit the source, then flood the market with other sources and stories, and, you know, to the point where people will have a look at this and go, oh, geez, this is fantastic. But how do you weed through it? I don't know.
So, in other words, let's say that his story is true, but they can't stop him from telling it for some reason. So he's telling it, and so the way that they would handle it, if I understand what you said, is to flood the market with a lot of fantastic stories.
Mm-hmm.
And so now his is all wrapped up with all those other stories, and as those stories begin to be proven to be hoaxes, then his goes in the dustbin as well. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it works in both ways. It's kind of left up to the person looking or reading these stories whether they they're going to believe this person or not. They've never heard of them before, and all of a sudden, there they are in the UFO community and claiming, sort of like years ago, the Bob Lazar, I call it the Bob Lazar affair, where he had these fantastic claims he worked out in Area 51, etc., and nobody knew what to make of him. They couldn't verify his credentials, and... he claims he's seen aliens and craft and all of this other things. And another one is the alien autopsy videos that came out. And there's so much that is coming out. You really have to use your own judgment, I guess.
All right, well, let's take another story and see where you are on this one. What about Project Serpo, the alleged exchange between U.S. personnel and extraterrestrials, and the U.S. personnel went to the extraterrestrial planet with them, and we kept a representative of the extraterrestrials here?
Now, that one to me, personally, that one to me would be, the scenario would be believable to me, because I can actually see that happening. I believe we have had contact. I believe extraterrestrials have contacted our government or the military or whatever, and the military's response was, hey, we can use this. How about if you give us this and we give you that? Sure, I can see that as a scenario.
Well, I can see that it's a possibility. But beyond that, is there anything about the story that would make you say, yeah, I think it happened?
Not really. I would read it or look at it with a real keen sense of interest, but I've seen so much, I don't know what to call it, misinformation or disinformation put out there. That it's just hard to know, you know, did this really occur? Is this really possible? Yeah, I think it's possible. It's a possible scenario, but, you know, would it really occur or did it occur? I mean, why would extraterrestrials think they have to trade us something when they could just come and go, oh, we can just take it. We don't need to bargain at all.
Well, I think that perhaps there would be those who say that these beings are not selfish and warlike like us.
I would tend to disagree with that.
Well, I would too, but, I mean, that's a possibility.
People tend to... As human beings tend to want to put a label on something, it tends to make us feel better. Like people ask me, well, do you think these ETs are good guys or bad guys. And I said, well, you're both right. They're both. I said, if they're anything like us, I said, they're certainly both. I said, there's bad guys and good guys. I said, each with their own agenda. And I said, I don't know. You can't really put a label on it.
Well, and I think, too, you have to take into consideration what is their perception of us. Now, see, our perception of what is good and bad has to do with how it affects us. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is it a good thing to kill viruses? Well, for us it is. For viruses, it's a very bad thing. You see? And if we are viewed by them as sort of a virus in the universe, it might be a good thing to kill us. Would not be good for us, but from their perception, it might be.
And we could simply be a... I've heard all sorts of stories that we are simply a... everything from a penal colony to a breeding colony to... just sort of those who were kind of left behind and see how we developed, and they're coming back to look and see how we're developing. I've heard all sorts of stories, but I'm thinking if somebody is that far advanced, we'd sort of be on the intellectual level of insects. If someone was 100 years ahead of us, even, let alone a million years, I'm not so sure, they would sort of be looking at us like, wow, we were like that once. How pathetic. We should just leave them alone, or should we help them along? I've heard all sorts of stories, but I think there are like multiple agendas going on here. You can't really put a label on it because there are so many agendas going on. And I think whether there's this exchange program, I could see the military wanting to do that, saying, well, you give us technology, we'll give you free rein to, say, take samples.
I hate to do it, but we are up against a break once again, and we will be back right after this with Roger Sugden.
Five words describe what millions of people are listening to today. Radio stations on the Internet. Internet radio, being used by more people to hear new radio. Radio online. Tell a friend to get with the programs.
gotta be cool, relax, get in, get on my tracks, take a backseat, hitchhike.
Valentine's Day is almost here. Pro Flowers has an incredible offer just for radio listeners. Order one dozen roses for just $29.99 and get another dozen roses free, plus free chocolates and a free vase. That's two dozen roses plus chocolates and a vase for just $29.99. Pro Flowers roses were rated best value by the Wall Street Journal. For this incredible offer, click on the Pro Flowers banner on your media player now or visit proflowers.com. Click on the radio microphone in the upper right-hand corner and type in the password Internet. That's proflowers.com. Radio microphone, password Internet.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest is Roger Sugden, the assistant director of MUFON in Indiana, and he is also teaching a college course in the, at the university there about UFOs. Roger, before we went away for the break, we're talking about these stories that we hear, and they're very interesting, and we have people who come on and relate these stories to us. The problem... Well, with the Dan Burrish story, of course, you perhaps can get Dan Burrish on a show and ask him questions. It has been done. But with, for instance, Project Serpo, all of the direct witnesses to Project Serpo are dead.
Yeah, not surprising.
I think the last one died, I think, in 2001. I think that's what they say.
Well, I've noticed not a trend, but somewhat of a, I don't know what to call it exactly. It's very scary where a lot of the witnesses die or they get into accidents. And I've noticed, and probably a lot of people have lately, that a lot of UFO researchers are dying of cancer of various kinds. That's rather bothersome, but it's historical fact now.
So what do you think's behind that? Is it just a coincidence?
Well, I'm a person that doesn't believe in coincidences, so I would say no to that.
Well, cancer, though, is a very common, very prevalent thing in society these days.
It is, and I don't know the histories on these individuals, but I just know that a lot of the major researchers have gotten male, both male and female, have succumbed to this different types of cancer, and it's pretty scary, and I guess different, like I said, different agendas by different forms of, I guess, ETs, and not to mention our own human agendas. Some of the people who are in the, I guess, religious-oriented are, they look at a lot of the UFO researchers as, what do they quote it, distorted religious longings, you know, who are sort of, they think we are all sort of looking at these ETs as benign, you know, in order to win our trust. And they think they're out, they're totally evil. I won't mention any names here, but their arguments are really weak. If you get into a debate with them, they say, "Well, according to this, you know, anything other than this is evil," and they give you no specifics, and you don't dare quote, you know, anything out of the Bible to them.
Well, I will. I don't care what they think. And I mean, I really don't. I mean, truth is truth, and anybody that's afraid of the truth, it doesn't bother me if it rattles their cage. I'm not on a war against churches. or against religious people. On the other hand, if they're going to quote Bible to me, I'm going to quote Bible to them. And if they can't take being quoted from the Bible, they need to get out of the religion business.
Yes, I've talked to a lot of people, a lot of direct experiencers in different countries, and you know they're very, very religious, and they've had very direct experiences, and they tell me that it just does not threaten their religion. He said this is something that even strengthens it, I know that even the very, very high religious establishments like the Vatican are very interested in UFOs and extraterrestrials, because how would this affect religion?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it may strengthen it. It may weaken it. You know, they think they need to know this.
Don't see that it has any impact on it, unless what you're believing religiously is total fiction anyway. I mean, let's say that we discover another planet in our solar system. So what? How does that impact religion? So if you discover that there are other living beings and they are intelligent, so?
Yeah, I will get into a debate with them, and I say, well, now, you know, if you believe this higher entity, God or whatever you call it, the Great Spirit, created everything, then everything would be everything in the mm-hmm. universe, all creatures, all entities, everything.
Yeah, I just, so, but you know, I used to get a lot of that in your face kind of stuff from that direction, but not much anymore. And it's very difficult to answer the question that I just asked. So, you know, how would that impact their religion? You know, it just doesn't. Yep. It just doesn't.
No, I don't think it really does. I don't see any real threat there. But I've heard very few people who think it's just a direct evil threat against their religion, but I think they're just very insecure if they're thinking that way.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't mind rocking boats, so. Okay, look, we are just about out of time. Very quickly, tell us the date when this new course will start up again.
This is March 3rd. It's three Saturdays, March 3rd, March 10th, and March 17th.
And now those are not standalone dates. They need to attend all three of those to get the course, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, they can go into all three of them, or people can come into one, and sometimes, you know, they leave. They have to pay to get all three courses.
Okay.
And it's just 2 hours for three Saturdays.
All right. Roger Sugden, thank you for being with us. Just stay on the line with me a minute. Folks, there you have it, Roger Sugden. I hope he's treated better by the media this time than he was last time. And really, if the media has any sense at all, they're not going to go against 80% of their listeners and readers. And I think they'll treat this professionally. I hope so. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you'd like. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until tomorrow night, when I'm here with Nick Pope. So long, everybody.